from the series What God Loves, in which we've been unpacking one by one the Beatitudes of Jesus, which serve as a preamble to the Sermon on the Mount. Last week, we talked about the subject, God loves and blesses the pure in heart. But today, we'll explore yet another fascinating beatitude in a subject entitled, God loves and blesses the peacemakers. God loves and blesses the peacemakers, from Matthew chapter 5. So if you have a copy of God's holy word, please come with me to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, and we are going to read verse 9. When you find it, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. The gospel according to Matthew, also called Levi, and chapter 5, we are going to read verse 9. It says in the New International Version, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." The Amplified Bible Version says, "Blessed, spiritually calm with life joy in God's favor, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will express God's character and be called the sons and daughters of God." The Message Bible simply says, you are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight among themselves. That's when you discover who you really are and your place or purpose in God's family. That's how you discover your place and your purpose in God's family. May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of his word this morning. Let's pray together. God, our eternal Father, we come before you one more time to ask for your Spirit to help us comprehend the Word of God that we are about to hear. We pray, Lord, that you will allow this Word to do an everlasting work in our lives. May we be encouraged, may we be edified, rebuked, corrected, and built up in the Lord. Help us to bear much fruit to the glory of your great name. We thank you, Lord, and we honor you because we ask it in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today's beatitude takes us into the art and science of conflict resolution and reconciliation. As we may all be aware, conflicts arise among us whenever we have difference of opinion, putting each other down, and when we fail to listen to each other carefully. In our fallen, sinful world, the tendency is to ignore conflict or suppress it by using force, threat, coercion, gaslighting, compulsion, or intimidation. But all of these common responses may potentially lead to even more dire and difficult, compounded conflicts. Remember that conflict may not necessarily be a bad idea, but it exposes the condition of our hearts before God and toward each other. In When Sheep Squabble, dealing with conflict in the smaller church, Glenn C. Damon writes, "The small church revolves around the close relationships formed within the congregation. Because of this, many believe that a small church is a place where deeply caring people who love one another and mutually support each other gather to worship, where conflicts are non-existent, and where never is heard a discouraging word." While this is true of many smaller congregations, most of the time, it is not true of every congregation all the time. Conflict is a reality that confronts a congregation regardless of how loving and caring the people may be. The difference between a loving congregation and one settling into patterns of warfare is not the amount of conflict or the intensity of conflict, but the way they respond to each other and in the way they attempt to resolve conflicts. Loving churches resolve conflict with minimal damage to long-term relationships. On the other hand, warring congregations allow conflicts to fester and grow. They never seek resolution and often add new conflicts to their existing problems, leading to apathy, boredom, and indifference. Saints, let's not forget, and I hope we remember all the time when we are in conflict, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in the community of faith, whether it will be at your job. Let's not forget that as a child of God, you are called first to be a peacemaker. Every one of us here is called by God to be peacemakers. Conflict, dissensions, petty jealousies, envy, backbiting, gossip, and slander should not be named among us as a people of God. Because Satan uses these vices to divide, conquer, and to control the church. Jesus doesn't want us to engage in constant, fruitless quarrels and arguments. He is not pleased when marriages fall apart, When brothers and sisters or parents and children stop talking to each other because they are at odds with each other. He doesn't like it when neighbors build walls of hostility and when they bear grudges. He doesn't like it when we bring each other down instead of edifying and building each other up in harmony and brotherly love. God does not want us to backbite, to gossip, to be mean to each other, just like you saw in that video illustration. In name of a prayer meeting, sometimes we would meet and begin to bring others down. Every one of us are capable of participating in that kind of conversation. So don't think about your neighbor. I'm talking to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Now, talking about living in peace with one another. In our text, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. But the question is, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a peacemaker? I'm glad you ask. Peacemakers are those who are saved and carrying out the ministry of Jesus to preach the gospel to those in need of peace. A peacemaker seeks to reconcile people to God and with each other. Why? Because they have experienced the peace of God in their lives and it has transformed their lives, and they want to share that with others by testifying what the Lord has done for me. Because what God has done for me, He can do for you. And you will be saved if you believe in Him. And your life will never be the same again, just like mine. Let me go a little bit deeper and explain the meaning of the compound word peacemaker. This word is a combination of two words, peace and maker. The etymology of the Greek word for peace is the Hebrew word shalom, although it can sometimes, depending on context, describe the absence of war. Shalom is often used as a greeting word or a departing word, like saying hello or goodbye. It refers to an inner sense of completeness, wholeness, and tranquility of heart. It also relates to good health, prosperity, harmony, and unity in the body of Christ. It means perfect welfare, serenity, fulfillment, freedom, from trouble and liberation from anything which hinders contentment in your heart. So when Jews said shalom, they were wishing one another the full presence, peace, and prosperity of the blessings of God. As Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26 says in the priestly blessing, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord raise his countenance upon you, turn his face toward you, and give you peace. Shalom. Now, the word make in the term peacemakers comes from the Greek verb that means to do or to make something. It is a word bursting with energy, and it mandates action, creativity, and initiative on your part as a believer. Because the Holy Spirit fills us and controls us toward righteousness. However, you are not a robot. You are not controlled by the Holy Spirit like we can control a robot by algorithms or even the software that we install on that robot. You still have a sense of purpose in your life, even though you have choice. And that gives you responsibility and accountability, even as the Spirit leads you into righteousness. So, you may be saying, what's my take home from this subject? What's my take home? First, strive to be a peacemonger. That means a purveyor of shalom. Strive to be a peacemonger, a purveyor of shalom. But before we delve into unpacking that statement, we need to acknowledge that true peacemaking is a divine work of God through the Holy Spirit. In Scripture, he is called the God of peace. And apart from God, there can be no lasting peace. And remember that peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit that works in us. God also brings this peace to mankind through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. That's why the angels can sing of peace on earth at the birth of Jesus. Find that in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. That's why Jesus can say, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. You find that in John chapter 14, verse 27. When he appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, the first word that came out of his mouth was peace. Fear not. When the disciples were in the boat and Jesus was walking on the water towards the boat, they were so scared because they thought Jesus was a ghost. But guess what Jesus said? Peace, fear not. It is I. when they were in a boat and in a storm. The disciples panicked. Jesus was sleeping in that boat peacefully. When he stood up, he said, "Peace, be still." And the water was calm. He is the author of peace. More specifically, God brings peace through the blood of Christ to us. Colossians 1 verse 20 says, Jesus reconciles to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Ephesians 2, 13 to 14 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away from being brought near to God through the blood of Christ, we are able to come closer to God because he himself is our peace. Peace then has to start with believing in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because peace is not possible unless we are washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, which gives us a new heart, a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Colossians 1 verse 20 says, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, through him, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The second truth we see in our text is that we are peacemongers. All believers in Christ are called to be purveyors of peace and truth that comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We speak truth because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts and because we ourselves have found peace with God. And therefore, we can share that peace with others. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says, God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We should proclaim to the world that true peace is only found in a relationship with God through Christ. When we carry that message of peace to others, we are being peacemakers. Now, here's a question for you. Have you ever sought to spread this message of reconciliation and of peace to others, like your brothers and sisters, even those in the faith, the unsaved, friends, co-workers, and family? Have you told them about what Christ has done for you in your life? Have you testified to them why you are different? Why you don't curse? Why you don't participate in what they're doing? Have you explained yourself to them to tell them the reason for your hope and for your faith? Or do they think you're weird by not participating in everything they do? I hope the Lord will give you courage to share your faith with other people. But what can we do to bring this peace, shalom, in our community and to others in our web of relationships? First, don't be a spreader of tales, gossip, slander, and backbiting as demonstrated in the opening video illustration, because they just produce conflict. Proverbs 26 verse 20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Which means if there's no gossip, but biting and bringing each other down, conflict will be reduced in that body. And remember that gossip is often the reason that people give for leaving the church, because they don't expect the church to be a place where they backbite each other and bring each other down, especially the weak, those who are struggling in their faith. We need to lift them, encourage them, pray for them, and don't bring them down. And that's why we are here, because none of us are perfect. We are still on this journey. It's a journey. We only arrive when Christ comes, but we are being formed and renewed each and every day. Titus 3 verse 2 says, slander no one. Be peaceable and considerate, and always gentle toward everyone, especially the weak, because they are very sensitive to those things. Second, don't be cantankerous, quarrelsome, or argumentative, because such a person obviously cannot be a peacemaker. He or she always destroys the peace by arguing about picky little things, tries to create controversy over things that do not even really matter to the cause of the kingdom. Holding others accountable to a set of rules and unspoken expectations that they themselves cannot keep or live up to. Third, walk in love and humility of heart. Walk in love and humility of heart. Don't always insist on having your own way. Don't be obsessed with me, myself, and I. Remember, love is sacrificial. You lose some, you win some. Compromise is the name of the game, and flexibility. Philippians 2, 3 to 4 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Fourth, practice shalom through confession, repentance, forgiveness, and lament. Our text calls us to be intentional in being peacemakers with others inside and outside the church. This means we are held accountable to how we react to each other, especially those who treat us unfairly. How we communicate when there is hurt from a friend or family member, and how we respond when we disagree with others. What is the condition of your heart? It will only come out when somebody says something that makes you feel demeaned and upset. And then we'll see the true leopard come out. The real lion will come out, because you feel somebody treated you unfairly. But let God examine our hearts and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let us be gracious to one another. Let us be quick to confess and repent of our sin and struggle. Let us be quick to forgive as Christ has forgiven us all our wrongdoings, past, present, and future, through his life, death, and resurrection, and ascension to the Father. And let us consider the book of Psalms as we lament, hurt, sin, and struggle, reminding ourselves of God's character and trusting in his faithful promises. You know what? Sometimes the only thing you can do is lament. And that's what sometimes I do. Because sometimes people say things that they can't say in my face. And when I hear about it, I can't say a thing back to them, but to just say, ouch, that is painful. And I lament over it. Sometimes I shed tears because I didn't expect that person to betray me behind my back and say what they said. And I know they can't say that in my face because they want to pretend like they love me and care about me. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So anyway, as I begin to close, why and how are the peacemakers children of God? Here's a quick answer for you. Because they believe in Christ and they are committed to living out their faith. And that's the key right there. They want to live out their faith in theory and practice. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but to all who did receive him, and that is Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Galatians 3 verse 26 says, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. And that's the key right there. Through faith in Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. How can we tell that we are indeed God's children? Bible says we shall know them by their fruits. What kind of fruit are you bearing as a Christian? 1 John chapter 3 verse 10 says, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Practice righteousness and love your brother. 1 John 4, 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God, and that person knows God. How can you claim to know God whom you can see and hate your brother whom you are able to see? So if you hate your brother and claim to love God, you don't know God. Because John says God is love. And then in Romans chapter 8 verse 16, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our hearts that we are children and sons of God. So remember that as children of God, we are called to be purveyors of peace. That means peacemakers. As a believer, peace should be evident and emulated in our lives during the good and the bad experiences of life. We ought to be full of peace and work to diffuse conflict in our interpersonal relationships in a godly and selfless manner. And here's my closing illustration. Centuries after his death, someone translated one of St. Francis of Assisi's prayers into English, I believe from Latin. It was later set to music. I hope you find the following prayer lyrics helpful in your walk of faith and in your relationships. This is his prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. When there is despair, hope. When there is darkness, light. When there is sadness, joy. Oh, Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it's in giving that we receive, and it's in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it's in dying that we are born to eternal life. And somebody said, Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts today. Allow this word not to fall on hard ground or thorny ground. Allow this seed to fall on fertile ground. May it grow and germinate and bear much fruit to the glory of your great name. Allow our hearts to be pruned by the Holy Spirit as we seek to abide in Christ, so we can bear even much fruit. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Search our hearts, and if we regard any iniquity, any shortcoming, cleanse us. Purify us in the blood of Jesus, and help us to go out there to live in righteousness, to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord, to the glory of your great name. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord raise his countenance upon you, turn his face toward you, and give you his shalom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And somebody said, Amen. Thank you for your time, and God bless you. We'll see you next week. We're dismissed.